I just want to look at one little phrase tonight, one little verse of Scripture the Apostle Paul gave us. I never cease to be amazed as I begin to read the Scriptures and just look at these phrases that's mentioned here and study them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts," the desires of the heart, the motives of the heart, the plannings of the heart. "And then shall every man have praise of God." This little phrase here the Apostle Paul mentioned, "bring to light the hidden things of darkness." Bringing to light the hidden things of darkness. But I want you to notice, first of all, here in our text, that the Apostle Paul mentioned the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he must have just took it for granted that they knew and believed that truth, that the Lord was coming again. Because he never stopped to go into detail and say, "Let me explain what I mean when I'm talking about the coming of the Lord." He just assumed that they knew what he was talking about. He often used this kind of a language. He said to the Corinthian church in the second letter, he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, you do show his death till he come." Till he come. The New Testament is filled with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is filled with the coming of Christ. It's mainly filled with his first coming. You remember that verse of Scripture that says in Psalms 40, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God." From Genesis 3:15, where he predicted the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, to the last chapter in Malachi, it's filled with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming. So often he mentioned what he was going to do when he came. Remember that passage of Scripture says that he shall grow up. He shall grow up as a tender plant. That was speaking of the coming of Christ, taking our humanity to himself. He'll be born of a virgin. He's coming. Somebody's coming. He's going to be despised and rejected of men. He's going to bear our sins. The Father's going to put on him the iniquity of us all. He's coming. He's coming. Someone is coming. The Old Testament is filled with the prophecies and predictions of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's come, he'll fulfill all the shadows, all the types, all the promises that's spoken of him in the Old Testament. He's coming. I think it's amazing when you come over into the Gospels, and you even find the Samaritan woman saying that we know that Messiah is coming. Even the heathen were looking for him. The Lord had stirred up this spirit of anticipation. And they realized the coming of the Lord drawing near. He's coming. Somebody's coming. And the Lord revealed to an old man that was in the temple by the name of Simeon. He said, "You're not going to see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ." Remember that? And that old man, that old priest went to work that morning with this anticipation. Today may be the day that he's come. That he's come. And sure enough, they brought him in, a little baby, the baby Jesus. And he took him up in his arms. He said, "Lord, let me die in peace now. My eyes have seen your salvation." He's come. He's come. And that's what he kept saying. "I came. I come down from heaven." And Philip said, "We found him of whom Moses and the prophets did speak. He's coming." And then when he got here, he says, "I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So he came the first time. And you know, brothers and sisters, he's coming again. He's coming again. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He's not going to lie to us, is he? If things aren't good for the believer in the future, the Lord would have told us that. He said, I'm telling you just like it's going to be. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And that's what Paul is talking about here, his second coming. He is coming again. You know something? People may doubt that. I imagine people doubted his first coming, don't you? He's not coming. Look how long it's been, 4,000 years. He's not coming. But did he come? Did he come? And I'm telling you, the promise of his second coming is just as certain as the promise of his first coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And what's going to happen when he comes again? The Apostle Paul said this in our text. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He's going to do two things. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and he's going to make manifest what's in people's hearts. Whether it was sin and evil motives and rebellion and enmity, or where it was faith and love and patience and goodness and all the fruits of the Spirit, it's going to be manifested when he comes again. The first thing I thought about when I looked at this phrase here, he shall make manifest the counsels of the heart and bring to light the hidden things. Isn't this a good description of the gospel? Doesn't it shine in a dark place? That's the way the old prophet defined the gospel. Peter said it's a light. It's a light that shines in a dark place. Where does the gospel, when it comes to us, where does it shine? Right in your heart. It goes right to the heart. Man's religion may deal with the outside of a man. The gospel deals with the heart of a man. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And you know something? An unregenerated heart's a dark place, ain't it? It's a real dark place. It's like the old earth was when the Lord first began to create it. When God had created the heavens and the earth, and he said, the earth was without form and void, it was empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Ain't that the natural heart? Darkness is upon the face of the deep. You were sometimes darkness. It wasn't that we just lived in darkness, that's bad enough. But we were darkness. Darkness of what? Sin. Ignorance, unbelief, enmity against God, rebellion, every type and shadow of darkness that you can imagine is found in the heart of a man. You know what the Bible says about the heart? It's deceitful above all things. And that's not probably the worst thing about it. It's desperately wicked. Deceitful and desperately wicked. And it's desperately wicked, but what it does is to deceive men how desperately wicked it is. And that's why the light must shine into our hearts. It does two things when the light comes. It reveals what's in the heart, doesn't it? You know, when you've got light, if you turn all the lights out in this room after dark, you can't see in this room. You don't know who's in here, what's in here. But when you flip the lights on, the first thing the light does is manifest what's in that room. And when the gospel comes, it manifests two things. It manifests, first of all, what's in our hearts. And boy, that's not good, is it? That's not good. It's the secret, dark things of a man's hearts. You and I go through life and we meet one another and we meet people and we make acquaintance with different people and we spend our whole life around them. and we don't even know them. And here's the worst part. You spend your whole life with yourself and you really don't even know yourself. Do you know that? I spent 23 years of my life, never knew myself. Never knew the sin. Never knew the unbelief. Never knew the enmity against God until He sent the light into my heart and exposed what was there. That's what He's talking about here. Isn't it? That's a good example of the gospel. When it comes, it's light. And it shows a man what's in his heart. And it's not good. It's just not good. But it's necessary, isn't it? It's necessary for that light to come and show us that. And He says here it's going to make manifest. This light makes manifest the counsels of the heart. That is the evil designs, the evil desires, the evil purposes. The imagination of men's heart is only evil continually. And you know, believers, when we're saved from sin, when we're washed from sin, when we're saved by grace, we still need to know about ourselves, don't we? I can never understand those people who have professed the Lord 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and they say, I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't sin anymore. You ever met people like that? I have. You know what that teaches me? You know what that tells me? This light is not shining there. Because when this light shines there, it manifests what's there. And John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This light removes the cover, doesn't it? It removes the pretense. But that's not all light does. Light manifests something else. It manifests what's coming from outside of us. And what is that? That's the gospel. It manifests the heart of a redeeming Christ, our Lord and Savior. Listen to this. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts. And when He sees that, you're going to see your heart. But it's more than that, isn't it? It reveals more than that. The light reveals this. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It manifests the heart, the redeeming grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what light does. The knowledge of God's free grace to clear our debts. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. The knowledge of the mercy of God for our miseries. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what happened? Boy, he saw the gospel, didn't he? He saw the blood of Christ to cleanse him. He went down to his house, a believer, and justified. I want you to turn over to a passage of Scripture with me in Matthew's Gospel. Bringing to light the hidden things. You know the gospel is hid from the unregenerate heart. You know that? The Bible says it is, doesn't it? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. It's hid for two reasons, two ways the heart's blinded. The God of this world blinds the minds. And the heart blinds itself, deceives itself. So light has to shine. And what is that light? You know what that light is? It's Christ Himself. I want you to look here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and look in verse 13. I love how this is. How the Holy Spirit says this. It just, he's not speaking naturally, but he's speaking from a spiritual standpoint, a spiritual sense. Look in verse 13, chapter 4 of Matthew. This is the Lord Jesus. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The word means light has shined. They sat in darkness. Ain't that the heart? They sat in the shadow of death. Ain't that the heart? Then what shines through? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. There they sat in their despair and their sins in the darkness. Light shined. Who is that light? It's the light of the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and shined through unto them. And what did they see? Why, it was redeeming grace, redeeming love, redeeming mercy. And then when that happens, what do we say? The darkness is past. Ain't that what you said? The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. That's a testimony of every believer. I was in darkness, but the light shined, and now the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. I don't want you to compare your experience with mine. But I remember, man, 48 years ago now, I guess, when I was so burdened with my sin. I mean, my mind was just filled with the darkness and guilt of sin. And the scariest thing about that, I couldn't do anything about it. I could not remedy my situation. And one night, I was by my bed, just asking the Lord to plead my cause. That's all I knew to say. I prayed out, didn't have no more prayers to pray, nothing else to do. Lord, plead my cause. And the light shined into my darkness, into my guilt, into my sin, and I saw the blood of Christ had cleansed me from all my guilt. And God had received me. No more His frowning face, but His smiling face. And I'm telling you, that was light. That's what Paul was talking about. When the light shines into our darkness, it manifests what's there in the heart, and then it's our remedy. Light is the remedy, isn't it? It's the remedy. Now, our text says something else. It's not only a good description of the gospel, that light manifests the things of darkness. But Paul, back here in our text, he intends this for something else. He's talking about that light that will shine in the hearts of men on the day of judgment, when Christ comes to judge the world. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, and He both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will manifest the counsels of the heart. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, everything is going to be made plain. All the secrets of men's hearts are going to be exposed. Everything is coming out into the light. Light's going to manifest it all. There won't be one secret thing kept back on the day of judgment. The light is going to expose it all. The Apostle Paul in his epistles often talked about false prophets and false apostles and false professors. And he rested himself in this, that there was coming a day when the Lord would clear all that up, when He'd expose all of that. He said, many walk, many profess Christ, of whom I've told you often and tell you even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of His cross. But He said, on the day of judgment, they'll be manifested. Those false apostles that accused Paul, perverted the gospel, corrupted the word of God, Here's what he said about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves under the apostles of Christ. That transforming themselves means they disguise themselves. They put on the sheep's clothing, but within they're goats. They disguise themselves. They transform themselves. And the Lord Jesus said this about them. He said, you Pharisees and hypocrites, you appear to men like whited sepulchres. Transforming, they appear, they disguise themselves, and they look to the world like whited sepulchres. You go through the graveyard, and what do we see? We see some of the most beautiful headstones that you ever see in your life. Some beautiful things written on them. But what's down underneath? Bones, deadness, rottenness, decaying. And that's what the Lord said about you Pharisees. You put on a front, you disguise yourself as holy men. But within, where people can't see, you're nothing but dead men's bone. And there's coming a day, brothers and sisters, when all that's within will be exposed. The graves will be open, the graves of their hearts, and they'll be exposed. Can you imagine those Pharisees and scribes in the back room planning and plotting in secret to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and to secure their own place? And they thought they had it all hid. They went into the back rooms and planned to crucify the Son of God and said, we got it hid. We're going to get rid of Him and nobody will ever know it. And Paul said, there's coming a day when God's going to manifest what you fellas did. He's going to manifest it. The Lord Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of their teaching. It's hypocrisy. They say and do not. And He said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, it's going to be heard in light. And if you've spoken something in your closet, into somebody's ear, it's going to be proclaimed upon the housetop. He said, that's how I'm going to manifest it in the day of judgment when I come again. There was a man by the name of Alexander Coppersmith. And boy, he hated God. He hated the gospel. He hated the Apostle Paul. And he laid wait for the apostle and did him much evil. And tried to pretend that he was for the working man. Tried to pretend that he was just trying to save the goldsmiths from going broke. And Paul said he did me much evil. God reward him according to his works. Can you imagine being a self-righteous, evil preacher, lying on God? Lying on Jesus Christ, lying to the souls of men, perverting the Holy Scriptures? And have to stand before your congregation on the day of judgment and be exposed. Man, that's something, isn't it? That's amazing. I was watching a video the other day, some of these faith healers. And Oral Roberts was still alive. Most of you remember Oral Roberts. And some of the faith healers were there. And I was shocked at a statement Oral Roberts made. And he not only made this statement, but the crowd went crazy, cheering and a standing ovation. He stood up on the stage and, man, he was dressed to the hilt. And you know what he said? You remember the statement that Peter made, silver and gold have I none. You know what Oral Roberts said? Silver and gold have we plenty. And he laughed. How did he get his silver and gold? He never ran a backhoe. He never pushed any pencils. He never went into the shop every day. How did he get his fortune? By lying on God. By lying on men. And could you imagine him going into the back room with his managers and them secretly plotting how they was going to deceive people? We've seen them today. They've exposed so many of these faith healers. Exposed the method that they use. They've got microphones, secret microphones set up in the congregation. They can talk one to another. And they can help the healing preacher out up here. Tell him what's going on, who to call on. They've got fake people faking diseases and come there to the meeting in a wheelchair and fake their healing. It's all fake. It's a disguise. Transforming themselves into something they're not. And Paul said, give it time. That day's coming. That day's coming when the light is going to make manifest their wickedness. Well, I wouldn't be in their shoes. God saved me from that. God saved me from that. One man said, the worst torment in hell will be a false apostle, will be a false preacher who has lied to his congregation, who has twisted the Word of God, who was afraid to confront them with the truth. And they believed what he said, and they all went to hell together. And in hell, they're screaming at him, you deceived us. You fooled us, you hypocrite. Wouldn't that be awful? Well, that's what Paul's talking about. That day's coming when God will shine the light into their hearts. And it's going to be manifested. It's going to manifest the darkness that was there. But something else here that we have to look at too. It's not just that the Apostle Paul was meaning this, that the light was going to manifest the wicked deeds of these false teachers. But you know something? That day is going to manifest what's in the heart of God's children too. It's going to manifest what's in their heart. I don't completely understand Matthew chapter 25 or how that's going to work out, but I believe in a judgment. I don't understand it, but I believe it. But on the day of judgment, when the king sat on his throne, remember that? And before him were gathered all nations, and they stood there. And this is what he said to his little flocks. This is what he said to his children. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you come to me. And can't you see the Lord's children looking around and say, who's he talking to? He ain't talking to me. I never did do that for him. Never seen him till I got to heaven. He said, if you've done it to the least of my children, you've done it to me. You've done it for me. Believers don't keep track of their good deeds, do they? They don't weigh their good deeds against their bad deeds. They don't check the clock and see how long they pray. They don't see how many visits they made last week or how many chapters they read in the Bible. They see sin mixed with everything they do. They just don't keep account, do they? But you know something? Christ does. He does. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, but He knows. He knows. False religion is all about outward show. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. Don't be impressed with how it appears. And how holy some men appear. It's show. It's a disguise. It's a cover-up is all it is. It's works of darkness. True Christianity is a heart worship. It deals with a heart. They that worship the Father must worship Him. It's a heart faith. It's a heart love. It's a heart service. It's a heart commitment. You don't get the pats on the back from the world. What's taking place between you and the Lord is first and foremost taking place in your heart. And that's the difference, is it not? My son, give me your heart. And someday the Lord of glory will manifest what was in the hearts of his people. And listen, they will be amazed when he shines the light on the dead judgment. They're going to be amazed. Those sighs that went almost unnoticed by them. Did you ever sigh? He noticed it. Those secret desires after the Lord and his grace, they're such secret desires, you hardly noticed them. If you did, he noticed them. Those groanings of your soul against your sin and the sins of others, he's put in his book. He's got a record of it. Every kind word you spoke to some tried saint, every act of comfort to a burdened heart, things that the world did not notice, and you hardly noticed it, Jesus Christ noticed it. And on the day of judgment, he's going to manifest what was in your heart. I saw your heart. I knew what was in your heart. I knew what you're thinking. I knew what you're longing for, what you was needing. He sees it all, doesn't he? I don't think you and I see very little of what goes in on our hearts. The Lord's working so secretly most of the time. The Holy Spirit is working there in our sighs and groanings and longings and our prayers. We see very little of it. But he sees it all. They took little or no notice of themselves. But he does. Things the world never praised them for, he will. He will make manifest all that's in their heart. And they'll be amazed. You'll be amazed when you stand before the Lord and he reminds you of what you did in this world. Every little jot and tittle will be made manifest. Franz Baker was an old Welsh preacher, one of the best writers, I think, came out of that whole country. And he was speaking about the day of judgment and the light that will sweep away the darkness and manifest everything. And this is the statement that he made. And I thought this very interesting. I imagine this is it. He said, on that great day when light sweeps away all darkness, there will be hypocrites who will be amazed that they were not sheep. You think that's so? Yeah, that's so. And there will be poor, humble saints who are amazed that they were not goats. Ain't that the truth? The proud will stand there and say, Lord, aren't we worthy? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? Well, we've done all of these things. We're sheep. He said, no, you're not. I never knew you. And you're the poor, humble saint that can't remember one thing he did, complete with pure motives for God's glory. And the Lord Jesus said, I remember. Come, you blessed of my Father. It ain't so much what we think about ourselves, it's what he thinks about us. What he knows about us, isn't it? He's going to make manifest the hidden things of our hearts. And then what's it going to be? He said, every man shall have praise of God. When the Lord Jesus comes and he gets us all up there and he shines into the heart and he's made manifest everything, all the saints are going to praise him. They're going to do in that day, Brother Scott used to say, what they can't do here. They long to do it here, but they can't do it. They're going to praise him with all their hearts, continually, eternally. Lord, praise you for saving me. Praise you for choosing me. Praise you for dying for me. Praise you for giving me a new heart. Praise you for keeping me. Praise you for bringing me to the Father's house. We'll spend eternity in his praises. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We'll sing that tonight. We'll go home back to the world and worldly things and try to keep our hearts on the Lord. There's coming a day when we'll sing that with all our hearts. And listen, we'll never stop singing it. We'll spend eternity in his praises. Then, every man, every believer will have praise of God in that day. And you know something? I don't know how this is going to work either. But the ungodly is going to praise him too. When he says to the angels, take these on my left hand and cast them into outer darkness. You know the Bible says the wrath of man shall praise him. Even the wrath of man shall praise him. They'll praise his justice. They'll praise him because he's right. He's proved it to them. All you can do is say, you're right. You're right. Everybody will praise God in that day, won't they? Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. The Lord's coming. And he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You know something, brothers and sisters, I know you agree with me on this. I want the Lord to expose what's in my heart now. I don't want to go on in my unbelief. Do you? Rebellion against him. Lord, expose. He'll humble us. But he'll make us cleave to our Savior too. And he can keep us from self-trust. And he will make manifest the counsels of the heart. God bless his word. Going next week to chapter 5 and verse 7. Lord, we thank you. Blessed Father, thank you again. We bless your wonderful name that you've given us mercy. That you've opened up the heart, your very heart. And we see Christ there. Your heart is Christ. Your heart of love is Christ. He's all. And you've let us see your smiling face, your redeeming face. And oh, Lord, we praise you for it. We live now in years. We've waited for you. And we wait today. We wait, Lord, your people are waiting on you until you come and deliver us and take us to the Father's house. Thank you for this dear people. Thank you for your work in their hearts. Please keep us as we go home. And bless us. Bless us, Lord. We ask you to bless us. Bless us according to your own will and purpose. Sometimes we don't know what's good for us, but you know. Bless us according to your will. And those tonight who are slothful, neglectful, I pray you'll put the rod to their backs, make them miserable, until you've humbled them and brought them to the throne of grace and they mend their ways. To those that's in great trials and heartaches and they're limping along, oh, carry them, Lord. Carry them and strengthen them with your grace. We pray and ask these things, Lord Jesus, for your glory. Amen.